Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, a happy April 2nd to you. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan, a very, very, very busy show. The New York Yankees do it again. We'll address that as the show rolls on. The very popular segment, Posted and Toasted, will come up at 3:30 where we discover old tweets from some of our coworkers. We'll get to the NFL draft as well as the show rolls on. But there is a location here in New York City. It is a location that I am very familiar with. It's a location that many, many Met fans are familiar with. It's a location in New York City known as Panic City. Panic City is a place we've been to many, many times. Panic City is a place we're very, very familiar with. And I've been around all day today. I appreciate Boomer and Gio allowing me on this morning to promote my new book, My Mets Bible, on sale today. But I noticed something while listening to them and listening to Sal and listening to many callers here to WFAN, and that's the fact that every Met fan has arrived into Panic City. Mm-hmm. They have gotten there on April 2nd. The Mets are 0-4. They lost an absolutely brutal game last night. And so Panic City, whether it's Boomer Esiason or it's Sal Licata or it's Mark from Fresh Meadows, they've all arrived at the same location, a location I have lived at almost my entire life. I am here to tell you that as disgusted as I am, as much as I did not enjoy sitting in front of my TV last night, I was not in the building, scoring every second of a tooth extraction known as the Mets losing 5-0 in 10 innings, despite guys who were supposed to be good defensively, sucking defensively, despite the fact that Brandon Nimmo can't hit and Francisco Lindor can't hit and Pete Alonso must still be hungover from his Zach Bryan concert, I have not arrived yet to Panic City. I'm not happy. I'm not in the greatest mood, necessarily. But that location, known as Panic City, USA, which clearly is housing like every Met fan in this area, I ain't there yet, Tiki.
Well, they should be.
Oh, we should be.
You should be.
Why?
I know Nimmo threw a guy out from left field. That was pretty awesome. You know, I thought Francisco Alvarez had a concussion the way he got hit.
Scary play. Right. And a big play in the sixth inning. That was Sean Manaea's first hit he allowed.
Huge play.
Only hit he allowed.
And Manaea was fantastic. Yep. And they just wasted it. Here's the takeaway that I have from this. The Miami Marlins, I know you know where I'm going, have a payroll of $96.694 million. Right? The Chicago White Sox have a payroll of $128,990,000.
Mm-hmm.
And some change there. And the New York Mets, leading all of baseball, have a payroll of $307,792,000 and change. They are the three defeated teams. The three winless teams in baseball have two lack of contenders who we know aren't contending. And the Mets, who were supposed to be, I don't know, trying to get to the playoffs, figuring it out as we go along season, spending $300 million again, and they look anemic and lost.
Yeah.
And I think worse than that, Evan, is that they can't even get their message right. The message that comes from, whether it's Francisco Lindor or whoever ownership is, we'll be okay. You're not going to be okay.
Why? Because of four games?
No.
Because they have a high payroll?
No, because the
What was the point of you telling me the payroll? Seriously, what the hell was the point of that?
You're wasting money.
Why? Okay.
You're wasting money.
What does
money.
It have to do with being 0-4?
Because you're wasting money. If you're going to be this bad...
You talking to me being a season ticket holder? Yes.
Yes. If you're going to be this bad,
yeah.
This bad,
yes.
You might as well bring up all the young kids and let people have fun.
Tiki.
I'm not espousing that because I don't believe in that.
They're four games into the season.
Like, okay. Here's the problem I have with you right now and basically everybody else at this radio station.
You're the only fan that feels confident in this team?
First of all, I didn't say confident. I said I'm not panicking after four games.
There's three players that are living up to the paycheck right now. Starling Marte, who just happens to be on SNY's Encore right now as I'm looking at him.
He's played well.
Francisco Alvarez.
Who's played very well.
He's been very well, and I don't even know who the third one is. Pete Alonso, I guess, is in that category as well.
Not yesterday.
Not yesterday he wasn't, but for the most part he has been. There's three guys.
It's four games.
Okay, but
dude, it's four. So do you think Brandon Nimmo's going to hit 075? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I hope not.
Do you think Francisco Lindor's going to hit 080?
No, I do not think so.
Do you think
that? But he is streaky.
I get that. They're off to an abysmal start, and I agree. The timing of this stinks. There was a lot of negativity coming into this season. A lot of people didn't like this offseason, and it blows to start the year 0-4. I am not going to sugarcoat the crap I've watched for the first four games of the season, nor am I trying to. I'm merely reminding you and reminding everyone else who loves to panic over every little thing that we're four games into the season, and if they win three in a row, what, I'm supposed to hear the exact opposite? I knew they'd be fine.
No, I don't know if they're going to be fine. I don't know what the expectation is. I don't know what the messaging is. I don't know what's being said to this team or why they look flat or why they make simple mistakes, right? The 10th inning, the grounder to Wendell was just, I went and watched. I just had to go back and look at it multiple times, and I did. And I was looking at it on my little iPad. It came up, and his eyes are literally closed. Literally closed. Mm. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, what's he doing?
Wendell's a plus defensive player.
I know it. Yeah. So is he scared of the runner that's just passing in front of him? Because there's a runner going right before the ball came, right in front of him. But as the ball is about to hit his glove, his eyes are closed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what that's an indicator of, but it's just sloppy.
Yes.
And so far this season, it feels like sloppiness has been the mantra for everything. Everything, pitching, coaching, skipping, whatever you want to call it, from Mindy, everything has felt sloppy, and you're not paying for sloppy.
No. First of all, I know that they have not played to what they should be playing to. For example, Zach Short's only on this team for defense. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, he cost them on Saturday with an error that was called a hit in the first inning. Yesterday, Joey Wendell's in this game at second base. There's first and second, one out in the 10th inning, and there's a ground ball to second base. And he has to make that play. And he didn't. And it was a bad play by Joey Wendell. But the real reason why the Mets are 0-4 is that in three of the four games they've played, they've scored one run or zero runs. They're not hitting. Brandon Nimmo's done nothing. Francisco Lindor has done nothing. Pete Alonso was okay until yesterday. He did nothing. They're not hitting.
And you think that's just going to fix itself?
Well, do you think Brandon Nimmo's going to hit 075?
I have no idea what Brandon Nimmo's going to do.
You know he's not going to hit 075.
Okay.
You know that and I know that.
Of course.
So why are we assuming that that's going to continue? See, here's what really does annoy me. Okay, and maybe it's because I've watched too many baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's my problem. Maybe it's because I got a book out today called My Mets Bible. I've watched and scored too many games. Do you realize that every good team loses four in a row?
Of course.
Every good team does that.
Of course.
So why, when a season starts, and we do it the other way too, when a bad team wins four in a row to start, trust me, Met fans have done that before, why do we assume
that know why,
everything
really?
We're seeing is the reality when you know Brandon Nimmo's not hitting 080 and you know Francisco Lindor is crappy as he looks right now, is not hitting 075.
But
they have played like crap. I'm not defending the way they've played. What I am telling you is on April 2nd, maybe I'll be there on April 5th. I don't know. On April 2nd, as putrid as that game was last night, and it was putrid.
Yep.
I'm not going to defend it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm not sitting here in Panic City giving up, talking about trading Pete Alonso and blowing the whole team up. That is insanity to me.
Nobody's saying they're giving
up. It's like we're watching baseball for the first time.
By the way,
it's like as New Yorkers, we never saw baseball ever in our life. And now we're determining this team sucks because of four games.
It's 063, by the way, for Nimmo. So instead of 075, you're giving us a little bit too much credit.
Pushing my buttons today, Barber.
I'm trying to. Here's the reality, though. Where are these guys sleeping? Oh, that's right. In their own homes. Have they been on a plane yet? No, they have not. This is four games in front of, well, last night, not really, but in front of Met faithful. Mm. And so why is it so alarmist? Because you're seeing it with your own eyes. You don't have the luxury to go, yeah, you know what? They're in Detroit or California. I'm just going to flip this off. I don't feel like watching this thing at 11 o'clock at night. I'm going to turn it off and I'll find out what happens in the morning. They are there. Well, except for last night. They're there and you're seeing it.
Tiki taking crowd shots right now.
Well, I mean, what crowd was there?
No, I didn't understand. Right.
They were there and you see it. And it's just, it's worse when it's home. It's worse when it's home.
I agree that it's worse when it's home. I agree that it's worse when it starts a season. Here's the deal with baseball. When you go through a 1-for-19 slump in the middle of July, your batting average may go from 285 to 270.
Yeah.
It's not as noticeable. When you have a four-game losing streak in the middle of the year and you're 50 and 35, it's not as noticeable. When you start a year this way and they have started pathetically.
Mm-hmm.
I am not defending the New York Mets as much as some people may take it that way. I'm merely reminding you, as the baseball smart town we're supposed to be, that to judge these first four games and already go to Panic City, which most Met fans are doing, I'm in the minority. And I'm not being confident. I'm not telling you they're going to win 90 games. I'm telling you that on April 2nd, it would be lunacy for me to be sitting and residing as the mayor of Panic City. I'm not there. I've seen Panic City. Right now, here's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of guys underperforming. No doubt. I see no offense. No doubt. I see limp bats. No doubt. I see a team that was supposed to be good defensively, playing crappily defensively. No doubt. I see all of that. It's all bad. Not defending it. But we are four games into a season, and collectively, we're losing our minds.
Yeah.
We all are. And you can come up with all excuses that you want. Well, Evan, it's a continuation of last year. That's the reason. Well, Evan, I don't think Carlos Mendoza can manage this team. Well, Evan, the core sucks. Well, Evan, it's this, it's that. Here's what I know. It's four games in a baseball season. I've seen many seasons that have started off great. Ask Mickey Callaway about it. They were 11-1 that year. Where'd they go? And we were idiots for printing out playoff tickets when they were 11-1. We were schmucks for doing that. Well, let's not be on the other side of schmuckness right now. This is not a perfect team. This may not ever even be a great team. And maybe ultimately the criticisms you're hearing will turn out to be true. But not today, not in this moment, not when you're four games into the season. Will there come a moment sooner than later where I enter Panic City?
Mm.
Where I say, boy, the alarmists were right?
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I ain't there yet.
Sounds like you're trying to convince yourself, Evan. It sounds like you're trying to talk yourself into things are going to be okay.
Or maybe I'm the one realistic, calm person.
No,
that's it.
It's not even that.
It's not?
It's just, it feels like this team is missing something. And maybe it is the manager, right? Maybe it is Carlos Mendoza.
But
here's the thing. I hear the messaging. It doesn't sound like we're going to be okay. It sounds like, okay, we got to keep our juju or whatever the heck Lindor said.
Vibes.
We got to keep our vibes high. You know, a little bit here, but not really last time. Like, we got to keep our vibes. It feels all over the place. Now, maybe that's just settling in with a new skip and some new pieces on this team. But it feels scattered despite having some really good veterans on this squad that you expect great things from, including Lindor and Pete Alonso, who has for the most part has been okay. But the guys who you need to be like pros aren't being pros.
Are they good baseball players?
Of course they are.
So then why would you? I agree. They're off to terrible starts. Like, there's no disputing how bad Brandon Nimmo's been. How many walks has he drawn this year? How many long quality at-bats has he had this year?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. But you also know, I'll give you a cliche, but it's such a true cliche. So sometimes it's okay to use them. It's called back of the baseball card. You know Brandon Nimmo is not an 070 hitter. You know that. You know Francisco Lindor is not some bum. You know that. So three of the first four games the Mets have played, they have scored 1-1, and 0 runs. That's why they're losing games. Like, even Sean Manaea was brilliant last night. Their bullpen till Tonkin, and it wasn't even his fault till the home run at the end, pitched well last night. It wasn't even the pitching, which everyone assumed would be their kind of demise. They haven't hit. And the guys who aren't hitting will hit. Like, am I really crazy to be sitting here on the radio telling you Brandon Nimmo's knocking at 080? I'm the crazy one.
No, but Evan, you're not crazy in thinking that eventually Nimmo's going to hit, Lindor's going to hit. But we've watched enough baseball in all of our lives to know when that kind of stuff happens, that's when all that questionable pitching you just mentioned won't pitch. You're not taking advantage now on what was supposed to be a weak first six games on the slate. Your pitching has given you more than you could have ever imagined, and the guys who were supposed to be the strength of the team are not. And before you blink in April, with games coming up with the Braves, the Dodgers, mm-hmm. the Giants, you know the schedule, you're going to look up at the end of April and go, oh my God, how are we 10 games under 500? It's because you didn't take advantage this early start at home.
You say a lot of truths. Here's where you say that's the truth, and I'll tell you where I will get scared. If these losses, which are now at 4 in a row to start the year, continue to pile.
Mm-hmm.
If the Mets go on the road, and I don't know how many more of these two games they're going to play because of the weather, but if they go to Atlanta and they're sitting at 1-8, am I going to be worried? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to come a point where you can bury yourself. I admit that. I acknowledge that. That's why these games matter. It's why I don't want it to rain tonight. I want the Mets to play baseball tonight because they need to win games. They need to get this bad taste out of their mouth. They need to kind of get the vibes up, as Lindor said. They need to change the bad juju. So, yeah, mathematically, will I be worried if they're 2-10? Yes! I'm not. I promise you this. I'm not going to be delusional all season, but right now I don't think I'm delusional. It's four games.
Yeah.
And the Met fan in general, and I'm one of them, right? I wrote a whole book. Read this book. It's out today, My Mets Bible. There's a lot of pain in that book. There's a lot of suffering in that book. And I think a lot of us just assume the worst and believe in the worst. Right now, it doesn't feel good.
No.
But it ain't the end four games into a season.
And I know what you were talking about with the pitching. And Manaea was fantastic. But it's almost like he's obscuring the reality. Kodai Senga is not here. Tyler McGill, whatever you thought about him, he's on the 15-day IL. Who knows what the heck that's going on with his shoulder. Luis Severino gave up 12 hits in five innings.
Yes.
Right? So Jose Quintana was good. They wasted it, obviously, just like they wasted Manaea. But you don't have like this pitching depth to what Sean's talking about to sustain playing anemic offensive baseball. You just don't. And so I don't see the solution on the pitching side to mitigate the lack of hitting. You know what I mean?
Well, no.
So when people are like, oh, this is our season's done. We're scared. That's why.
No.
It's not because they're 0-4 and they lost four games to start. That's not what it is.
Yeah, but
it's just
the
like
Mets,
you try to find the solutions to the questions or the answers to the questions, they're not there.
The answer was always going to be the Mets have to hit. I said that to you all spring training. The Mets have to hit.
No, you said that about the Yankees.
No, I said it about the Mets, too. That was before Cole got it. The Yankees are a little different. We'll get to them later. The Mets have to hit. The Mets needed average starting pitching, a top-notch bullpen, make the plays defensively, and hit.
Okay.
Now, so far, they haven't done any of that.
Right.
But I'm not crazy enough to think, never was, the starting pitching was ever going to be a strength. Their offense needs to be the strength of this team. And so far, four of their core players haven't done anything. Nimmo's done nothing. Mm-hmm. Lindor's done nothing. McNeil didn't start. Then they use him late in the game as a pinch hitter. He does nothing. They have to hit. And if you tell me they're never going to hit, then they will stink. I acknowledge that. Their offense needs to be their strength. And so far, one run, mm-hmm. one run, zero runs. That in three of the four games, they have scored one run or less. You are not winning games that way. Let's get to some of your calls real quick, including Bill in Point Pleasant Beach. What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Good, Bill.
My question is, how soon are the Mets going to be out of it? Over, under May 1st?
Oh, my goodness. This is what we're talking about. Are they going to be out of it before May 1st?
Let's go, Mets!
Oh, my God. Oh, why don't you answer the question, Tiggy? It's clearly pointed at you. He knows my answer.
Out of it, meaning no chance to make the postseason.
Yeah, they're dead.
They're dead.
We're writing the obituary.
May 1st is early?
He said over under. Will it be after May 1st or before?
It'll be after May 1st.
Oh, thanks.
But next week, I might change my mind.
Well, look, I may change my mind, too, if they start 0-9. Trust me, there's a moment for all of us. We all have that moment. Now, what I've learned around here from a lot of my fellow Met fans, and I'm not just talking about voices on the fan, I'm talking about you guys, listeners, callers, is it seems like we are quicker than ever before to say we suck. We're quicker than ever to come to that conclusion, okay? I'm not going to sit here in June if they're 30-50 mm-hmm. and tell you everything's fine. So we all come to that point at a different time. It just seems like Met fans in 2024 are quicker than ever to say, yep, it's over, we suck.
Because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because a lot of Met fans thought the team was punting on the year. So when they go 0-4 to start the season, it just justifies their thought process.
I agree, that's a part of it.
It's not really panicking. It's just, see, told you they were going to stink.
Right.
I knew it.
And it's something different every game. It's not like, oh, we lost the same way. It was, we get one hit, right? We don't throw, Rhys Hoskins pisses off the team. Jeff McNeil, they saunter out of the dugout and do nothing. And then the next game, he goes crazy. RBIs and home runs, and then it took, you know, until the eighth inning or seventh inning before you even try to retaliate, which sparked them a little bit, but they fall just a little short.
That was the one game they showed offense.
Right, it was the one game.
It was the one game they scored more than one run.
Because they showed a pulse.
I get you.
I think the problem is it feels like there's no pulse.
Let's go to Robbie in East Brunswick. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, listen, Evan, I love you, man, and you're just such a dreamer. And you know I like you.
Dreamer.
Realistically, like that. They just suck. I mean, don't cut me off. I mean, just look at them. They're horrible. Since they lost that series to the Braves, they're just a terrible,
what do you mean by horrible? Does that horrible mean they're going to lose 90 games,
there's
100
no
games?
Robbie. There's nothing.
Okay.
They have no life.
Do you want to have a conversation?
So you can believe what you want. I'm telling you, they suck.
Okay. I want you to put a number to suck. What does that mean? 90 losses, 95 losses? What do you mean by that?
It don't matter. They have no chance.
No, it does matter. If you want to call up, beg me not to cut you off, then let's have a conversation. It's easy to say they suck. I had a guy in my DMs the other day, and he's a Philly fan, and I actually do respect that they clearly can't wait to see the Mets struggle, even though they're not off to a great start. And the guy DMs me and says, Evan, blah, 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 Mets are the worst team in baseball. And I said, really? Put your money where your mouth is. They're the worst team in baseball. Like, let's cut out the hyperbole. What are they? And he backed off, and he said, well, they're not the worst team in baseball. They're not a playoff team. Okay, so we went from worst team in baseball to not a playoff team. So to Robbie, when you have the balls, call back next couple of days, because we probably don't want to hear you anytime soon, couple of days, and get specific, and I'll have that conversation. And for anyone out there right now who wants to say, Jay, they just suck, what does that mean? They're going to lose 95 games and this season's meaningless? Or is suck like a different bar, like they're not going to make the playoffs, and that's suck enough for you? I don't know.
I don't know either, but I know that right now you should be in panic mode because it doesn't look good.
This guy, Tiki, let me tell you what I learned about Tiki Barber. When it comes to the Jets and I start panicking, oh, calm down. Zach will be fine. You got nothing to worry about. When it comes to baseball where there's 162 games and we're 4 games into the year and I'm giving you like a tiny bit of calmness, you're like, what's wrong with you? Start panicking, you moron.
At least with the Jets, they had defense. At least with the Jets, they didn't make a cacophony, that's the word I saw today, of errors when it mattered most. That's what happened.
Can you spell that word?
Cacophony.
I don't even know how.
C-A-C-E. I don't know.
No idea.
O-F-P-H-A-N-Y.
Oh, we went with the P-H?
It's definitely a P-H.
We'll get back to your calls in a second, 877-337-6666. And there's one thing I do, and sometimes it's meaningless and it's a waste of time. And today, it may tell you a really, really important story from the New York Mets. I listen to what everybody says after the game, the players, the manager. I hear things, and sometimes they say nothing. And sometimes they say a lot without meaning to say anything. Francisco Lindor after the game, and we'll get Tiki to analyze as the former player, appeared to say the Mets weren't ready to play on Sunday, but they were good to go on Monday. We'll take a listen to that coming up, and more of your calls. Have you arrived yet in Panic City? 877-337-6666. We will get to the Yankees as the show rolls on. They won again! And they're facing an interesting dilemma revolving around Luis Gil, who pitched last night. More on that later. We're getting to the NFL draft as well and get you set for a busy sports night that includes a showdown featuring the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat. Plus, in about an hour, 3:30 right here on The Fan every Tuesday, a little segment we call Posted and Toasted. But yesterday, after the game, Francisco Lindor met the media. And I've said this to you before, and I think most Met fans have come to terms that Lindor is the leader of the team, and he's the guy. He is the spokesman, if you will. And Francisco Lindor said something that may not jump out at you. I want to call your attention to this. And I want to hear from Tiki, and obviously everybody in the audience, if you read the same thing into this that I heard from Francisco. And that was that maybe the team wasn't ready to play Sunday, but they were good to go on Monday. So the question he's asked is, hey, Francisco, we know that you love to trust the process. You're a trust the process kind of guy. How hard is it right now to trust the process when the team is losing?
Yesterday, I would say hard. Today, man, the energy, the vibes were extremely good. You know, everybody was on the top step. Everybody's pulling for each other. Everybody's pulling the same direction.
Why was yesterday hard, though, Teague? Did that jump out of you?
Yeah, it did.
Yesterday was hard. Today, good vibes.
He kind of swallowed it. He was like, yesterday was hard, but today we felt the vibes. And so we moved past it really quickly. So what it feels like to me is that third game of the Brewers series, because of the emotion, or probably around the Rhys Hoskins stuff and everything else, it felt like they were beat down. Right, they just couldn't find ways to win.
So they didn't have all those positive things he described on Sunday.
Exactly. Like they get one hit and then they come back, but then they fall short. I mean, it's just it's probably exhausting, like mentally taxing. You think about the everyday grind of baseball. You haven't started the season right, and you just get bitch slapped by Rhys Hoskins and the Brewers.
Well said.
Right, and then you come into that last game on Sunday. You're just kind of like, ugh, man, I can see it. Like, it's early in the season. You don't know each other well enough yet to know how to lift each other up or know what to say or what you can't say. And I don't know. Just it speaks to, though, a lack of like something in that clubhouse. You know what I mean?
Well, he was saying, hey, today was great. The vibes were fantastic. And as a throwaway, it wasn't that case yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, he's asked a follow-up question around...
Did they ask about it?
Not specifically, but he went back to it, which I appreciate. So he went further into... yesterday versus today. Here's the question that was asked and Francisco's answer.
For a clubhouse leader, how do you allow it to not snowball psychologically in here?
We just got to keep the vibes in a very good place. And what, like I said today, it's everybody's pulling in the same direction. Everybody's working towards the same goal. Today, it felt completely different. Completely different. Hitters meeting was good. And just the preparation was really good. And in the game, we were talking, you know, just bouncing ideas, bouncing approach. And we put good swings on the baseball today. It just, they didn't fall through. And it, like I said, it just hasn't come down to execution. So how do I gather the troops? Just do exactly what we did today. Just keep their vibes up. Keep the energy prepared. Continue to educate yourself and be ready to play the nine innings.
But not yesterday. He said it again.
Yeah.
Like, today was great. We did this. We were talking. We were prepared. Almost implying on Sunday, we didn't prepare. We had no vibes, and we all hate each other.
Yeah, I don't know if he was saying that, but it was just...
He said it was the opposite.
Right. It felt...
His words, not mine.
I'm trying to see what hear what he's trying to say. And again, it's a grind, and everybody knows it's a grind, and there's some veterans on this team who have done it, right? McNeil and Nimmo, batting title guys, Blonzo... You almost don't need to tell them that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're having a tough start to the season. Everybody knows it. It's like, it's not even the elephant in the room because it's hitting you in the face. And so do you go up to that guy? Hey, you know, Brandon, you know, try doing this. And he's like, dude, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing.
Mm.
I can understand how it'd be difficult to kind of have that conversation with a vet. Now, if it's like Francisco Alvarez who's struggling, hey, kid, come here. Let me take you aside. This is what you need to do. Try doing this. But he's raking, so you don't even worry about it. You're not worried about him. It's the veterans who you might not know how to like really approach to try to take the pressure off of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it was just weird. See, listening to that, what was weird to me was calling attention to, hey, things are good. We're vibing all right. Yeah. We're talking. We're prepared. But by the way, yesterday, not the case.
Yeah, but it's
what I took out of that whole thing.
But it's also too early. Even though we can do it,
right?
Like as fans, except for you, we can sit back. Oh man, this Mets team—they got some problems, man. There's troubles. This roster's flawed. The skip doesn't know what he's doing. We can do that, but they can't.
No, and that's why
it's too early.
That's why Sean is right about one very important thing. I'm not in Panic City yet, but I can get there real quick. Mm. You can push me to that location real quick because these guys are humans. And Francisco Lindor can talk about the vibes being great. If they're 0-7 spending a weekend in Cincinnati, they're not vibing.
No.
If they're 1-10 while they're getting their brains beaten in Atlanta, they're not vibing. And things will get worse, and that snowballing will occur. So my concern is more, this could get bad.
Right.
I don't think they're there at 0-4, but if this expands to those kinds of numbers I just described, then all those great vibes and communication that Francisco said they had on Monday but apparently didn't have on Sunday, that could go away.
Yeah,
because they are humans.
Yeah, and the challenge is, again, I go back to it, how do the vets talk to each other? That's what it is. How do the vets talk to each other? And, I mean, I don't know what the dynamic is. I'm sure at some point we'll find out or we'll hear about it or it'll start getting reported upon. But that's how you fix those things, is vets have to have each other's back.
And I also understand there's 162 games in a season, and I understand you can't treat every baseball game like a postseason game. Mm-hmm. So you want to tell me in the middle of August there was a Sunday afternoon game and the vibes just weren't there? It's hot. It's a long season. We didn't have that same fire and communication. I understand it. You can't tell me that on March 31st.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can't hear.
Right. Season just started.
And that's why that answer, that little give and take from Francisco, and I appreciate him being honest, like I do, but to me, I thought it revealed something.
Well, I think it's something to stick. So again, we're overreacting to the outcome of the Mets games. I don't think we should overreact to that yet.
It was just something that jumped out of me.
It's interesting that you found it and we dove into it a little bit, but stick it in the back of your mind.
Oh, it's there.
Right. Stick it back there, and if something, I don't know, a month from now reminds you of that, then that's when you bring it up and you say, you know what? We saw this a month ago.
Yes.
Right? We had inklings of this at the very beginning of the season.
Is he telling us Sunday afternoon games, don't buy tickets, we're not going to be vibing? Is that what he's telling us?
Or are they telling him, we're not vibing because we're all at concerts on Saturday night. We're not ready.
Stop! Pete was fine.
You know what? I did think
about
that.
Was anybody else at the concert with Pete?
Well, if they were, they were smart enough not to jump on stage.
weren't popular enough to jump on stage.
That's true.
Let's go to John in Easton, Pennsylvania. Good afternoon, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Just wanted to chime in on this whole Mets thing. You know, I'm not a Mets fan. I'm not a Yankees fan, right off the bat. All right? However, I'm a huge baseball fan, and I'm looking at the eye test. And the Mets, they're just not passing the eye test. You know, they look like a bunch of guys out there making a paycheck. There's no passion. It seems like there's nobody in the locker room when the coaches aren't around that's stepping up. You know, and saying, listen, we got to do better than this.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Alvarez is a little bit like, but how much can he do?
No. What do you want him to do? They're not hitting.
Right.
Like, we always do this.
Right.
And I do it too, by the way. They're lifeless. They're this, they're that. They act like they're not hitting. And when you're not hitting in baseball, that's the way it looks.
Yes. Yes.
So what do you want to have happen when Francisco Alvarez doubled in the sixth inning with two outs?
Right.
He should have just, like, taken his clothes off at second base to pump up DJ Stewart, who popped up meekly on a 3-0 pitch?
But this is what I'm saying. Like, Francisco Alvarez, he's not lifeless.
Right.
Right? He plays. There's no reason that he should not have been a double. Like, he was running for a double as soon as he hit the ball.
No, that's a good point. It wasn't your typical double.
No.
It was a hustle double.
It was a hustle double.
And they did nothing with it.
And he hangs onto the base because it's just on. It's on encore right now. It was on by, like, his middle finger. He was hanging onto the base.
Yes.
That was it.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's a hustle play. So everybody's not just like, okay, whatever. We'll figure this thing out. Like, he feels an urgency.
Right, but they're not hitting.
Yes.
So, like, he is. But I'll give you one thing I saw from last night. I don't know if it fits the lifelessness thing, mm-hmm. but Starling Marte has looked tremendous. He's been great. So this is a little bit of a nitpick on one guy that's actually hit. Last year, Starling Marte didn't hit. He didn't play great defense, but he did one thing very well. He stole second base a lot.
Yeah.
He took advantage of the new stolen base rules. In last night's game, a 0-0 game on both accounts, he's on first base with one out. He doesn't attempt to steal. He leads off the seventh with a single. He doesn't attempt to steal. Like, those are moments where, hey, you want to somehow force the action? Because what you do when you try to steal second base is not just get the scoring position. What if Carson Kelly throws it in the center field?
Yeah.
Like, what if that happens? You force the action, and the Mets had done none of that.
At the beginning of the year, physically for him, it was his neck, right?
Well, he's coming off the double groin from a year and a half ago.
Right, but the groin was a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
I'm just asking or just wondering if he doesn't feel comfortable.
Well, he's supposedly healthy.
I know. I mean, he looks healthy because he's hitting.
And trust me, I don't want to rip on him. He's been great.
Right.
My point is, when you're not hitting, because it goes back to this, they're lifeless. They're lifeless because they're not hitting. Well, mm-hmm. what do you do when you're not hitting? You try to force the action.
Right, like Francisco Alvarez is stretching a single into a double.
Absolutely, which he did. you know, when they got the first two guys on in the first inning, you want to do a little hit and run with Pete Alonso or a hit and run with Francisco Alvarez? Sure. But you got to force the act. They're not doing any of that. So when I hear that they're lifeless, lifeless is connected to not hitting. Mm-hmm. And the New York Mets are not hitting. They've had three games this season. They've only played four in which they've scored one run or less. Like last night where they didn't score a run in 10 innings.
Yeah.
Including the Fugazi rule in the 10th where they got a runner on second. Let's go to Zach and Paramus. Hey, Zach.
What's going on, guys? Love the show. Ev, congrats on your new book, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I called the last 2 years, and I got to keep it intact. I got to say the same thing I say every year to you, man. It's just the same. Oh, Mets.
Thank
you. Let's go, Mets.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the reminder. And maybe at the end of the day, Zach, you'll be right. Maybe you will be. Maybe at the end of the day, all the negativity that Lugie had and G had coming into this season, maybe you guys will indeed be right. But I am not giving that to you or to Zach or to Gio or to you, Lugie, on April 2nd. Because you know, you want to know why?
When's your date?
Because I know better.
When's your date?
I don't think it's a date. I think if they start 0-7, I'll be panicking.
Oh, like, so it's like three more days.
It could be. Look, my dad always taught me this, and I commend him for it. I don't agree with every baseball opinion he has, but one of the things he said is, this guy's on the radio, and this is long before I was on the radio, the Mike and Chris's of the world, Beningo, who we love. They overreact, Evan. It's 162 games. You're never as bad as you are when you suck. You're never as good as you are when you're hot. And while I may not fit that extreme view that he has, because last year, I used this on the air last year, and it was the dead honest truth. My dad all year through their struggles kept saying, Evan, they're not that bad. 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 They got swept by the Tigers. Evan, they're not that bad.
Yeah.
Everybody's wrong. Right. They'll be fine. And I saw the moment where it changed. The quote I used on the air is, I saw the death of a season in his eyes. And I'll never forget the moment. Mets Yankees. When they blew that lead.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer took a giant on the mound. That was when I glanced over, and he didn't say a word. I looked into his eyes, and I knew what he knew, and I knew what we all knew.
All right, so you
done.
So you've developed that inside of your psyche now. You can recognize it as a sports fan.
Yes,
right.
I have my ability. For me, we're all different. When I know what you think you know now. And I'm not going to change that because we're doing sports talk radio.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you when I feel that way.
Right.
Not going to change it because I'm doing the Rico. I'm going to tell you when I feel that way. And I'd be lying to you if on April 2nd at 0-4, I scream bloody murder that we're done and I'm panicking.
But when the Rangers beat the Islanders in the stadium series, you didn't see that?
I saw that long before that.
That was for you, Sean.
Thanks, Tiki.
That was for you, Sean.
By the way, you may have been right about that. You know what? On the Islander end, you probably are right about it.
I get a couple right every once in a while.
How about last night for the Islanders?
Yeah.
How about, I mean,
they just set it up at 6:20.
Three points out. They're hanging on.
I know, but they're 10 seconds away from keeping whatever.
I know, right.
Give up the point.
I know. They give up the point they can't give up, but then they win in overtime, whatever. Let's go to Philip in Jamaica, Queens. What's up, Philip?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for making that call. We appreciate it.
And Tiki Barber, you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
One of these days. Keep my fingers crossed. I appreciate you, Philip.
I can't wait. Anyway, I want to make it clear, I am far from panic mode. It's only four games.
Look,
but here's my point.
Yeah.
I don't think Carlos Mendoza is a good choice to be a manager. Like on Saturday, when Jeff McNeil had that problem with Reese Hopkins.
Yep.
Yeah. Where was Carlos Mendoza? He didn't go out, argue the call. He didn't protect McNeil.
Yeah.
I've been a good man. I'm not saying he's a bad manager.
No, sorry. I got you. He but had a chance.
Manager,
he had a chance, and I said it at the time, Philip, in the building. He had a chance to kind of make a good first impression on Met fans by just giving us a little acting.
Yeah.
By giving us a little screaming and yelling, I'm upset. How did you throw my guy out? This is absurd. Blah, 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 blah. Would that have made a difference in the game? Probably not. Would that have made a difference on Sunday? I don't know.
Honestly, you don't know, though.
Okay, I'll acknowledge I don't know.
It could have.
But I do agree with that point that it would have been good for him just to lose his mind. With that said, you know what's more absurd than burying the Mets after four games? Burying the manager after four games.
Yeah. That's true.
Because the New York Mets are losing for a very simple reason. They're not hitting. Brandon Nimmo, 090.
I'm giving him more points. Isn't that really like 070?
63.
Oh, Lindor, wow. Same average, by the way.
063. Oh, 63?
Yeah.
That's why they're losing. Like, is that Carlo? Is that the manager?
No.
Or is that the fact that right now through the first four games, two of their core players, and really three, including Jeff McNeil, who didn't get the start yesterday, are doing nothing?
By the way, Mendy's only managed three of those four games, too.
Thank you for bringing it. You're right. John Gibbons managed the Sunday game. So actually, when Carlos Mendoza manages, he's managed three games, the Mets have scored two runs. Carlos Mendoza has managed the Mets to two runs this season in three games.
Hello, Mindy.
You got to admit, it's crazy to say he's not cut out for this.
Of course it is, but it's still, you just want to blame somebody. Well, it's so bad early, you want to blame somebody.
No, I get it. And I understand, like, even last night, there was a thought. I'll give you a brief thought of, you know what, top of the order in the ninth inning, Let me get a little crazy. Let me actually not use Edwin Diaz and use him for the 10th when they have that dopey runner on second rule, where it's a tougher spot, where you need the strikeout more. And it went through my mind, but it's not one of those, what an idiot. Like, how could he not have done that kind of thing? But it goes through my mind. But that doesn't mean he can't manage in the major leagues.
That actually would have been a good solution.
Oh, you like that? Look at me.
Now, to be honest,
Evan can manage.
To be honest, first time managers, the bullpens always seems to be the last thing they figure out.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I agree.
How can I
you.
Use him correctly?
Right.
And you know what I'll give Mendy credit for? I'll give him credit for this. All spring training on the Rico, not really as much here, I would scream and yell that the cleanup hitter should be Francisco Alvarez. And then they sign JD, and until JD gets back, Alvarez should clean up.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that over the weekend, and he bats him really down in the batting order. I appreciate that Carlos Mendoza, after only 3 days, made the proper adjustment to move Alvarez to cleanup where he played last night and where I fully expect he's going to hit tonight if they play a game. So kudos to the manager for not doubling, tripling, and quadrupling down on a dumb decision.
Yeah, you have to read it in real time. Same thing happened, you know, with the Yankees with Cabrera. Right? You know what you... He's going to be a platoon guy until he's not.
Yes.
Right? And now he's not because he's raking every single day. But Alvarez, I mean, I think you kind of prejudge because he only has 1 year of experience. He has one year to go off of. Mm-hmm. And some of it wasn't great last year. I'm throwing it for Alvarez. So it makes sense to stick him in the bottom of the lineup, but... If there was one guy that you could have known was just going to grind his way to being better this offseason, it was Francisco Alvarez.
Through four games, because again, got to be consistent with this. It's only four games.
I agree, but
he's been tremendous.
But you saw it last year.
Yes.
Even if it was just from a defensive perspective, the kid works, man.
You see him get better. You also saw the little clutch gene with the big home runs he hit. And right now, you ride the hot hand. So I commend Mendy for moving him to cleanup. Sean's in East Islip. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going? I was just calling about the Yankees and the Mets. Well, mainly the Mets, because I do not believe they're going to finish below 500. I think they're going to definitely finish above 500.
Yep.
Also, I want to say congrats on your book. Evan, I'm a big fan. And Sean, you have a great name.
here's the real question, Chuck, because I'm glad you brought that question up. And I want everybody in this studio on the freaking record, because I want to know where you stand. Sean, not you, Morash, the caller, said, and he declared something here on April 2nd, which is probably controversial to most people around town right now, who all reside in Panic City. He said the New York Mets will not finish under 500. Forget that for a second. Will the New York Mets see 500 again this season? That's my question to all of you. Will they see 500 again this season?
I mean...
Oh, they will.
If they run 10 games under 500, to use Sean's example from earlier in the show, if they run 10 games under... Yeah, you start to worry.
That's not my question. Right now, it's April 2nd. They're 0-4. Will they get to 500 again?
Yes,
okay, Tiki says yes. Sean, will they see 500 again?
My gut says no based on the April schedule.
Wow. Okay, no. Lugie, will they see 500 again?
Yes.
Then, okay. Sean, you're exempt from this because you're just saying they suck and that's it. Then I don't want to hear from Tiki Barber and Tommy Lugauer that they're in Panic City. If you think they're getting back to 500 at some point, then what are you panicking about?
Who said I was panicking? I just didn't think they'd be very good going into the year. I thought they'd be around 500. They were going to lose four games in a row at some point this season. They did it early in the year, so everyone overreacts to it. I think they'll be right around 500 basically at the end of the year.
Okay, so you're not in Panic City then?
No, I'm not in Panic City. I'm in more of there, not that good city.
Okay, fine. You stay out then. Okay. Then what's up with you? What's up? We're in Panic City, but now you're saying they're going to get to 500? If they're going to get to 500, what are we panicking about?
Are they going to get shut out two more times by Detroit? They're probably not going to even play, but so you know what I mean. But are they going to score runs and get shut out by Detroit for the next two? Are they going to go to Cincinnati and get swept?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
They're going to go to Atlanta and get swept? See, that's the problem. And then, Sean, you nailed it, basically, is it's not the fact that they started 0-4. It's that there's not easy wins when they get on this little mini road trip.
Right. And my prediction is when they hit, pitching will falter. I've seen it a million times in baseball, and that's where they're going to run into trouble. I don't think the Mets suck. But I think that what's happened and their schedule upcoming, they will dig themselves a hole that they can't
dig out. So the Mets are about to accomplish something, and you have to look this up. This is very rare in the history of the franchise. Very rare, other than the early 60s. They're about to have, in your opinion, a wire-to-wire under 500 season.
Yes.
Which, by the way, look it up. I don't think that's happened very often. Outside of the early 60s, where they would never win games, they would start 1-10 every year. How often since their championship in 69... You know what? I'll make it more recent. How often in the 90s, 2000s, and aughts, and 20s, have the Mets ever had a wire-to-wire under 500 season? And you know how I know that's very rare? They always win on opening day.
Yes. Yeah. What was it, 61% or 62%? Whatever it is.
It's an absurd number.
Yes. I think it might be more than that.
I think so.
Until this year, obviously.
I will look up that answer and get you the facts, that's for sure.